Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thank you, Pete. Good morning to you and welcome in. 106.7 The Fan on this Tuesday. Grant and Danny with you. Top of the morning, buddy.
It's a rainy die on Grant and Danny. Die.
Does it ever stop raining here? Well, I guess you don't remember. You don't know about this because you were at the beach.
Yeah. We caught some of that down there.
It was like 4 straight days off and on of rain, 3 of which were just incessant. Is it going to rain tonight? Because I'm supposed to go to Nats Park, and I'm not trying to do all this delay, no delay.
Yeah, I had a case
players
of the
flipping off bases nonsense.
Listen, I woke up this morning with the full intention of going to the Nationals game tonight because the wife and son are out of town. They're still down at the beach. I'm going, I got the place to myself. I'm going to the Nats game. I'm unfettered. I got no calendar. And then I heard the little raindrops outside. I said, nope, I ain't doing it. I'm not dealing with it. I'm not going to go. The Nationals are not giving you any information about what the hell's happening. Look at your phone. I'm not doing that today.
You know what I did last night? I went and threw the pigskin on a field turf.
Chucked it around a little bit?
High school football quality field. Nothing quite like getting out there and just running some routes. Playing a little safety. Working against one wide receiver with you and one person.
Dot, dot, dot. We're talking about Grant Paulson. Great hip drop. Very fluid in his breaks. Doesn't have top end speed. Doesn't break on the football very well, but very good hands. If he's standing there, Todd, he will make the play.
What is the best game to play? A pastime? Just something fun in the afternoon if you've got like 3 or 4 people?
It's pickup hoops is one, but number two might be that, like, just running routes and you know, little pitch and catch, 7-on-7 style.
I ask this because I've been playing a lot of pickup hoops. I actually think that throwing the football yesterday way more fun than the pickup hoops. Now, maybe it's because I play hoops more often, and this was like a treat. This was like eating a cookie or some ice cream for the first time in a long time.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Haven't thrown the football around. Maybe it's just because football's just now back.
Yeah.
I'm watching games for the first time.
I think it's that one.
I'm seeing practices for the first time. I was at M&T Bank Stadium up in Baltimore. Hadn't seen a game in 8 months.
So Purple Bank upper.
That's probably all a factor. But I had more fun slinging the pill, throwing a little pigskin, than I've had shooting basketball. I don't know what that means. But I tweeted that yesterday. I said, what is the most fun thing to do? A couple people said soccer. Not with 4 people.
It's not. No, it's not that.
Unless you have a game going where you have goalies and it's like, I would say 8-on-8 or something, soccer's useless.
Even still.
Yeah, you can't with 2 or 3 people have fun playing soccer.
No.
So I'm ruling that out.
It's hard to have fun with like 22 people.
I love baseball. Baseball, useless with 2 or 3 people.
Yeah.
Now you can throw beeps.
You can like wiffle ball it.
Me and a buddy have a couple times gone to a field. He'll throw to me, I'll throw to him, and we'll hit. That's fun. But we're not on par with basketball or throwing the football. I think mid-afternoon, you're off work, you got 2 people hanging out with you. It's one of those 2 things.
I agree. Yeah, I think the special treat, because it's almost fall, which is the most delightful season of the year. Everyone who doesn't like it is incorrect. And football's kind of back. That was the treat. But if you did that in like July, you know what I mean? I don't know if you would have felt the same way. Or June, you know what I mean? I don't know if you'd have felt the same way. Like, oh my God, the football's the best thing to do. Shooting hoops is still the onesie because it's so easy. You can take breaks. It's very casual. Running routes is a little bit more complicated.
The one seed in DC sports might be Bryce Harper.
Might be.
He is hurt again. Jeff Passan of Yahoo Sports. If you're not familiar with the name, that's okay. Just know that he's the best baseball writer in the country. He wrote a piece yesterday for Yahoo where he asked, is the often injured Bryce Harper really worth $500 million? He goes into detail on how much money Bryce is going to make when he hits free agency at the end of next season. Now, we have on this show, if you remember, a few times over, kind of explained the marketplace with sources that were written up from ESPN.com that are executives all around the sport guessing and estimating what Harper was going to be making. Most of them said it's very easy bet to say he'll get to $450 million. A lot of them said he's going to be the first $500 million player. And then there were a couple people who said it's not out of the realm of possibility because he's going to be 25 years old that he could sign a 15-year deal through his age 40 season, which is normally when you sign a guy through. Normally they're 30 when they hit free agency and they get a 10-year deal. But because he's getting there 5 years earlier because of how quick he got to the big leagues at 19, basically you'd sign him to a 15-year deal and it would be over $600 million. But Passan just uses $500 million as his number. And he asks the question, if you should and if you can justify paying this guy, whether you're the Nationals or somebody else, as often as he gets hurt.
Because somebody's going to. Someone's going to pony up an awful lot here and say it is worth the risk to us. So he goes into this, and it's a good piece. I'll tweet it out at Funny Danny.
The first line in the story is great. He says, the last time Bryce Harper played a full season of baseball, he was a 19-year-old rookie. That was 5 years ago.
In that half decade since, Harper has suffered through injuries to the hip, knee, thumb, neck, shoulder, and now, after Saturday's awkward landing on first base, his knee again. And he goes into some of these numbers here. And we've seen the full season. Now, in fairness, he took some days off in his MVP year, and I'm fine with that. 162, I think, is a bit archaic, given the travel schedules and the challenges that these guys face in terms of keeping their bodies healthy.
Yeah, Passan did not give him credit for a full season, I guess, 2 years ago when he won the MVP.
When he played 153.
9 games off. Well, that's because he missed a few of those games with an ailment.
Mm-hmm.
But if you play in over 150 games, you played the whole year, as far as I'm concerned.
That's where I'm at about it. And I would definitely, you know, sit guys the way that Dusty does.
That means you weren't on the DL.
Yeah, but keep them off as much as possible. So he goes into this, and the gist here is, can you now say, because some of these things are freak injuries, some of these things aren't, some of these things are maybe related to the player. At a certain point, when does it cross from freak injury to the dreaded moniker of injury prone? So this is a passage, again, from Jeff Passan's piece. And while there are no questions about Harper's talent and any concerns about his maturity, which really shouldn't have existed in the first place, frankly, seem laid to rest as well, the latest malady only adds to the notion that one of the game's greatest players is injury prone. Because again, you go through some of the litany of injuries. You remember the knee that affected him, and it really affected him. He was not the same guy. We saw that. And I believe it was 2014 where he had 270 with 13 homers. You're going, who is this guy? What happened to the breakout candidate? You saw what happened last year with the shoulder. We hit 240, which is not the same guy for huge extended stretches of the season, whether it was the neck, shoulder, back. I don't know. No one's really saying.
He's also got a style of play, Danny, where we refer to it as his hair being on fire, him playing 100 miles an hour. But there is a reckless abandon, and he's gotten sharper and smarter and more mature in this capacity. Remember when he first came up, he was running into fences with no regard for human life.
He's changing gears now a little bit.
Absolutely. But he still is on team. Something always seems to happen. I mean, he's still the guy that slides off the base when it's wet and the knee gets hurt, or last year played through the shoulder problems. There hasn't really been a single season other than that MVP year 2 years ago where he has navigated the full year without issue. And this is a big enough sample now. We're talking about 5 years in where we know there's always going to be some type of nick and he's going to be banged up. So you mentioned the words injury prone. That's how Passan described him. He said, together, those two words are about as ugly a designation as one can assign an athlete. They are not personal, nor are they some kind of incontrovertible diagnosis, like the one the Washington Nationals released after Harper's left knee buckled Saturday night and led to some gnarly-looking screenshots. Thankfully, the Nationals' medical staff read an MRI, not a GIF, and determined Harper sustained a bone bruise, but no ligament or tendon damage. Harper will miss weeks, maybe more, and it's impossible to know whether he can continue playing at his current 326 average 614 slugging level when he returns.
So the comparisons, and there are a couple, Giancarlo Stanton signed what's still the richest deal in the history of American sports, $300+ million for a number of years. He hadn't played 120 games in those couple years since then. Now he's having the year that they always kind of envision, and you go, see, this is why we pay the guy. He's on pace to hit 60 homers at this point. He's had 17 bolts in his last 30 games, and it's on Sports Center overnight, hitting the ball over those stupid sculptures down there in Miami in that dumb stadium. This is why somebody does it. When Bryce Harper puts up that ceiling season, that MVP-type year where he was as good as anybody in the non-steroid era, he was basically had a Barry Bonds-ian season 2 years ago, you go, that's why you pay that guy, because when he does it, nobody else can do it in the same way. The worry is, when you sign someone to that many years, that many dollars, that kind of a commitment, it influences the way you build your team. You have to count on that guy for those 150 games a year. And if you don't have him, it's now one of those investments that becomes terrible. It's untenable to have a player of that caliber with that much financial and stake committed to him not play. That's Passan's point in this piece. It made me think an awful lot, I will tell you that. Because my instinct generally, because I'm here in D.C., I love the Nationals. I want to raise my son as a Nationals fan. I want him to feel about Bryce Harper the way that I felt about Cal Ripken.
There's value in that.
I want him to go to the stadium wearing a Bryce Harper jersey, see him his entire career, and think about him the way that I felt about Cal. And I think that's possible. I think that's on the table. If the Nationals are able to pony up the dough and whatever else happens, right? If they can go $500 million, $480, whatever the heck it is, they can win the bidding. They possibly could. But then you think about how scary it is that if enough of these freak things start happening more and more and more and more, you go, this is no longer a fluke, right? This is no longer something that is kind of out of left field. I mean, I think about sample size and data points and various things about players' careers. We got in this argument all year long with people who incorrectly think that Anthony Rendon should just hit sixth, right? And they go, look at his career numbers hitting sixth. They're better than when he hit second.
Well, you mean when he finished in the top five in MVP voting hitting second?
That's one point. The other data point I offer is this. We're in the middle of career highs in every category that's good for Anthony Rendon. This is now happening. A guy that's in his prime at 27 years old doing things that he's never done before. He's already set the career high in home runs. He's going to finish with a career high in on-base percentage, slugging percentage, OPS, the walk-to-strikeout ratio. I mentioned RBIs, extra base hits, everything, right? This guy who's 27, giving him some of the same, comparing him in his career numbers to what he did when he was 23, I think is no longer worthwhile. We're in a kind of a new era here.
Here's the question Jeff Passan is asking, and we can open up the Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines at 800-636-1067. We'll get your thoughts, 800-636-1067. Is Bryce Harper, often injured, worth $500 million when he's a free agent at the end of next season? Very likely that would mean signing him this offseason to an extension, if the Nats want to do that, to avoid free agency. Can you, in good faith, at the end of this year, after this knee injury, give him $500 million? Something I have said in the past that I would do. But it is a convincing case from Passan that you can make the case, even if he's healthy all the time, that's too much money to invest in one player in a sport where, yes, there is no salary cap, but there is a payroll. What about if it's a player who you can't count on being on the field? What about if it's a guy that is always going to be banged up? Does it make it harder to pay the second best player in the sport behind Mike Trout? 800-636-1067 will give you our answers on whether or not we would pay Harper despite all the injuries, and we'll get your thoughts next on Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.